What is the church? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe Society Podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, you can see us at stjosesociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Bootcamp, episode 29. It's hard to believe, fellas, that we're already into the month of April. And this month, we're going to be looking at the nature and role and mission of the church. But before we launch into that, I want to kind of just take a minute to look back on the 7 months that we've already spent together. This is about the time of year where I've been checking in with priests throughout the last 7 months, seeing how things are going. And I just want to share with you guys how encouraged I am by the reports that I'm getting. The priests say the groups have been doing a fantastic job, that you guys have been doing a great job being faithful to the meetings. The discussion's been going great. Some of you have even taken the time to shoot me an email and thank me for the materials and things, which has been really moving. And so I just want to thank all of you guys for your faithfulness to the program, faithfulness to your parish, your priest, and most importantly to our Lord. It seems like God's doing some really great things through this program this year, and I can't be more grateful. I also want to take the point to start encouraging you guys to pray about continuing in this journey together in June. When I wrote the boot camp, I never intended for it to end in May. We call it a boot camp because it's a boot camp. And after boot camp in the military, you don't leave the military. Your military life, your fighting life has just begun. And so I always intended for this group to be something where as guys start developing these habits through these challenges and their life's changing, the Holy Spirit's doing these great things in their minds and in their hearts, that we would continue this journey together. And so I want to challenge you guys to pray about continuing on with us in June. Your priest will be talking to you about that this month and next month. But guys, the church desperately needs men, and they need men like each one of us to be devoted to our Lord, to be devoted to our parishes, to our families and our communities. I believe God wants to do something big and something great. He's just waiting for men to raise their hand and say that they're in. And so I'd like to continue this journey together as we continue to grow in faith, grow in holiness, so that God can use us to transform our parishes and our families. And so just challenge you guys to pray about that continuing, and we'll keep talking about it more over the next couple months. But again, thank you guys for all the work you've been doing. It's been really great. Well, this month, we're going to look at the nature of the church. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of cool subjects this year. This month, we're going to look at what the church is. The church is a huge topic. I teach a semester-long course on the church, so it's kind of difficult whittling it down to four mini lessons. But the way we're going to tackle it is we're going to look at the nature of the church today. Next week, I want to discuss Christ's relationship to his church. During week three, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's role in the church. And then we're going to wrap up this month by looking at the four marks of the church. The four marks of the church are one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, which you guys probably recognize from when you say the creed in Mass after the homily. You'll say, I believe in the Catholic Church, one, holy, Catholic, apostolic. Those are the four marks. So I figured it'd be good to end our month together kind of looking at a brief overview of that. But the best way to introduce this is just to define what is it we're talking about. So this week, we're going to talk about what is the church. And the way I want to tackle this is I want to just kind of revisit a brief look at the history of the church within salvation history from Adam and Eve right up to the present. Kind of give you guys a broad picture overview so that you can kind of see how God has developed his people over time and where we fit in that. And then in the second half of this episode, we'll look at what is the church. And the best definition of it is that it's the mystical body of Christ. And so we'll also give you a definition of what that is. So that's how we'll tackle it this month. All right, let's look at salvation history. A few episodes back, I think it was episode 13, I talked about a book I read once called Holy People and Holy Land, which gives like a theological introduction to the Bible. It's a way of reading the Bible theologically. And in this book, the authors argue that the whole point of the biblical narrative is that God wants to establish a holy people and place them in a holy land, okay? That love of God, charity, holiness is the point of the Bible. It is the lens you have to read the scriptures through. And in the book, they write this in the first chapter. They say, We become a holy people when God, restoring and perfecting our fallen minds and hearts, dwells within us, a holy land by grace. Now, what's going on here? When you read the Old Testament narrative, you have God chooses, you know, has the chosen people, has the Jews, and then has the holy land that he promises to them when they're in slavery in Egypt, that Moses leads them up to the, you know, doorstep of, and then Joshua takes them in. What you see in the Old Testament is there's this distinction between the people and the land. What the authors argue is that what God's working towards is that he still's working to have a holy people, but the holy land that he's going to dwell in is us. So what you see in the new covenant is that the holy people of God, which are those who are baptized, who are in a state of grace, God dwells within our hearts and minds. So you see this land and people, which are distinct in the Old Testament, become one in the new. And then as Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and God dwelling among it, the church is this fulfillment. So within the church, you have God dwelling within his people, writing his laws in their minds and hearts by grace. And that's this concept of holy people and holy land coming together. Now, as this unfolds in the Old Testament, there's four basic moves of how this works, okay? So this plan of salvation, this holy people, holy land, dwelling people's hearts by grace, there's a four-stage development. The first stage is a very brief one. That's when God creates Adam and Eve, and he walks with them in the garden in the cool of the evening. Okay, this is a stage of innocence. Now, we all know how that story ends. They fall into sin, get expelled out of the garden. Okay, first stage over. As they get pushed out of the garden, God, of course, puts his action plan, okay, his salvation plan into motion. And what you see is you see a distinction between God's people, we find them in the Jews, and the Gentiles in the Old Testament. Now, these two groups, God reveals himself to them in distinct ways. So to the Gentiles, he does not give special revelation. They don't get the prophets, they don't get Moses, they don't get the law. What they do get is a testimony of God written into nature. Okay. With the Jews, they get the law of Moses. Okay. They get the Ten Commandments and all the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. They get all the prophets talking about a future coming Messiah. So these two peoples, okay, these distinct groups with a revelation, you know, proper to them, kind of develop side by side. What St. Paul says is that at the fullness of time, Christ came in order to not only be the Messiah to the Jews, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, but also to call Gentiles into communion with himself. And this is one of the most amazing things. For St. Paul, this is the most amazing thing there is. So Christ comes down. This is stage three. And he comes incarnate. He lives a perfect and spotless life. And he suffers and dies on the cross for our sins. Okay, this is stage three of the church. So we have the innocence, we have the preparation in the Old Testament, and now we have Christ, this third stage. As Christ, he rises from the dead, he ascends to the right hand of the Father, he promises to send the Holy Spirit to his people, okay? When he sends this down, this starts the current regime of the church, or what's called the church age, okay? Now the Holy Spirit, okay, this age of the church, it does not replace Christ. Okay, there's this great quote in a book by Cardinal Jernet on Theology of the Church. He says it this way. The age of the Holy Spirit completes, not abolishes the age of the Son. Okay, what he's saying here is that this church age is completing the mission and the exercise which Christ came to do. Well, how can we complete it? Because Christ is the head of the church sitting at the right hand of the Father. We are his body in the world. Okay, which takes us to the definition of what the church is, okay? So as we see this unfolding plan of salvation in the Old Testament, now the church is inserted into the world. We are given the Holy Spirit. We have the Eucharist. We have the hierarchy. We have bishops and the Pope, and we have all these tools God gave us, and we are to represent Christ in the world as his body, okay? So just to the second part of the podcast today. As this new body of people come in, you have Jews and Gentiles alike within here, okay, which is something that just blows St. Paul's mind. Now, when the New Testament authors are trying to find a term, like what are we going to call this new people? The term they chose, okay, what we call English word church, comes from a Latin word ecclesia, which comes from a Greek word of similar Greek word. What these words mean is to call out, okay? So the word ecclesia in the Old Testament, it's used in the Old Testament, referred to like an assembly of people that came together for some religious purpose. It's the word that's used for the people at Mount Sinai, for the Jews at Mount Sinai when they gathered together to worship God. Okay. So New Testament authors take this concept from the Old Testament and they apply it to this new community of believers. Now, why is this important? What the New Testament authors are telling us is that this plan of salvation, this people of God, this holy people and holy land theme I just talked about, there's a continuity between the people of God in the Old Testament and the church in the new. Okay. The church is the fulfillment of the promises of Israel. And so by choosing this word, this ecclesia, that's the word using the Old Testament, by choosing this word, they're showing that continuity. And they're showing the fact that God's calling people together, not just Jews as their promised Messiah, but also Gentiles as well. Now, as God calls this people to himself, there's various images in the New Testament to try to explain this relationship between us and God. Okay. Jesus uses the illustration in John 15 of the vine and the branches. Okay, he says, we're the branches, he's the vine, showing this kind of intimate relationship between the two. St. Paul uses a bunch of imagery in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, he says, the church is the household of God. So it's this idea that, you know, we're this body and God's dwelling within us. Later in chapter 2, he says, the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So again, you get this image that God, through his power and through his grace, is living within us. Okay. In Ephesians 5, it says Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. Okay. So it shows this two people becoming one kind of mentality. But of all these images, the image that Pope Pius XII said was the most important one is the mystical body of Christ, which St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now in Mystici Corporis, Pope Pius XII says this: if we would define and describe the true church of Jesus Christ, which is the one holy Catholic, apostolic, and Roman church, we shall find nothing more noble, more sublime, or more divine than the expression, the mystical body of Christ. For Pope Pius XII, and for the whole of church tradition, the church being the mystical body of Christ is the best definition of what the church is. Okay? Christ is put forward as being the head of the church. We are his body. Christ, as it's said in here, through the Holy Spirit and by grace, lives within us. He animates or makes alive his body. We are his representatives within the world to carry on his mission and complete what he started. Okay. Now, I'm going to postpone giving you some more imagery on how these concepts fit together. In 2 weeks, I'll give you an illustration of a body and soul composition to kind of explain this mystical body a little bit better. But I'm going to set that aside just for right now, just for sake of time. But we're going to circle back to this concept. But really, I want you guys to meditate on the fact that the church is the mystical body of Christ and God's dwelling within us by grace. That's a great meditation to kind of keep in the back of your head this week. Now, this mystical body, like, you know, what is it? Where do we identify it? Lou Godot, his book, Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, says we can understand the mystical body of Christ in a wide sense or in a narrow one. In a wide sense, the church includes the church in purgatory, which is the church suffering, the church in heaven, which is the church triumphant, and the church on earth, which is the church militant. So anywhere where the church is, purgatory, heaven, or earth, that is the mystical body. But he says in a more narrow sense, it's good to think of the mystical body of Christ as the visible church of Christ on earth, okay? Because we're a body that we can be seen and do God's work in the world. And so this mystical body of Christ, the way we're usually going to talk about it over the next few weeks, is the church that's on earth, this church militant that's carrying on Christ's mission to the world. And when you guys meet in your discussion groups, we're going to talk about just that we have this mission down here and how we cooperate within it. So in the coming episodes, because I'll start wrapping up here, we're going to revisit this mystical body of Christ throughout the next 4 episodes to wrap our minds around that. We're going to look at Christ's role within the church, how he's the head and we're the body next week. We'll look at how the Holy Spirit animates the mystical body of Christ in week 3. So again, we'll circle back to this mystical body of Christ imagery. And then we're going to look at how you identify this church through those 4 marks. But before we draw this episode to a close, I want to forward the challenge for you guys this month. All of these blessings God has planned for us, incorporating us into his mystical body, there's three basic things we have to do. Okay, we have to believe in him. We have to make use of the sacraments he gives us. And we need to obey his commandments. Those are the 3 basic things. The one I want to focus on this week is believing in Christ and his teaching. Guys, to believe in Christ and his teaching, we have to know it. Okay? We can't believe in something we don't know. We can't love someone we don't know. And so the challenge this month is that each week you guys would set aside time for intellectual theological formation twice a week. Now, when I challenge you guys to do this month, I don't care how much time you spend doing it. Okay, if you have not studied for, you know, a decade because you've been out of school for a long time, fine. If you're like, I can only pull off about 15 minutes, perfect. If you think, Mike, the best I could do is listen to this podcast twice, wonderful. What I want to challenge you guys to do is to set aside time twice each week this month. Try to build a habit that you're learning your faith a little bit better. Okay, this podcast would be one of those sessions per week. So you got one down. You can find a good book to read. You could find a homily online that's really helpful. There's lots of ways to fulfill this and more I'll talk about in the future. But I want to challenge you guys to do this. Guys, we live in a point in time, a point in history where things are very, very confusing. And if we don't know our faith well, we're going to be swallowed up by falsities. And so we want to know the truth inside and out so that we can live it and pass it on to our children and our friends and our family. So that's your challenge this week, guys. Again, thank you so much for your faithfulness over the last 7 months. I'm looking forward to the next two as we finish up the boot camp and hopefully lots of good stuff in the future. So I hope you guys have a blessed week and I'll see you next week.